spun it around, but I don't. So I was praying and kind of just talking to God about doing offering, and I was thinking some different scriptures and some stuff came up, but one of the things that he reminded me of is when I first moved here, I'd been teaching English overseas and had a good job, and I came here to Bullhead City. I'm like, okay, so what am I going to do here? And I actually joked to Marguerite, and I said, I'm going to end up being a greeter at Walmart. Wasn't far off. I ended up going to work at Walmart, getting a job working overnights, doing the remodel, and then I got hired in their tire shop. So I did that for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I did it for quite a while, making $9 an hour, about 32 hours a week. And we were doing okay. I was not a tither. I didn't know anything about tithe. I mean, we weren't brought up to tithe. Offerings were taken at the church we went to, Marguerite and I, but we weren't tithers. That wasn't taught. And so I started coming here, and it's like, okay, especially the verse in Hebrews about Jesus receiving the tithes. I got on board. I'm like, okay, we'll do this. So we started tithing. Not too long after, I don't know how long into this, but we were just barely making it. We were hand to mouth, very much. So Marguerite wasn't working. Well, she was making $20 a week babysitting. So we were living off my salary and paying all of our bills. It's kind of a lot along the same lines as Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea. I bet if I went and got our tax return, it would probably be very much similar to that. And we came one time to a meeting, and we were tithing, and we would give offerings. Like, man, $10, $20? That was like, ooh, man. Okay, are you sure? So we were giving little bits and pieces here and there, and Dr. Edwards came, and he spoke a word over us, and he quoted 1 Samuel 17, the widow of Zarephath. If you know that story, Elijah he's on the brook, and the crows are bringing him meat, and the brook dries up. God tells him to go to Zarephath. There's a widow there that's going to feed him. So he's planning ahead. And if you read the story, first blush, you could kind of say, this sounds kind of mean, because he shows up, and the widow's there, and she's by the well, and he asks her, hey, could you fetch me a drink of water? She's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. Oh, and could you go and make me a little cake to eat when you bring the water? So now she stops and she says, okay, as your God lives, right? So she knows he's a man of God. I've got this much meal, flour, let's say, and a little bit of oil left. I'm gathering a couple sticks. I'm going to make a cake. Me and my son are eat, and then we're going to die. Basically, we're going to starve to death. That's it. Got nothing else. And he says, yeah. Don't worry. Go ahead and do it. But first, bring me that little cake. Maybe 10% of the flour? Maybe? A little tithe there? So she does it, which, good on her, because I think I'd have been like, no. Right? Sorry. But she does it. So then, basically, God has set it up. This woman would have probably died, but God set up, the man of God came. She obeyed and gave that little bit, which again, I think 10th. And now he basically said, as long as I'm with you, your flour won't run out and your oil won't run out, right? So this was the word spoken over us. So she wasn't getting rich, but she wasn't dying. And so we live that. And every day, bills would come up and we'd have the money, things would get paid. Or it would be like, okay, it's home. Okay, what time is it? Oh, hey, money came in. We were not giving a lot. We were tithing. We weren't doing a lot of offerings, but man, things were happening. Now, we weren't, money wasn't rolling in, but bills were being paid. And if I look back now, it's like we had two teenage sons there eating. And, we occasionally got to go out. I think back now and it's like, wow, how did we not lose our vehicles? We bought a new car while I was working at Walmart. I mean, a used new car to us, but we bought a car. I think back now, and it's pretty amazing. And then as we started to increase, our offerings would increase, and things kept coming up. Getting better jobs. And that was another word that was spoken over me by Pastor Tim. A better job. And things got better. And now our offerings are way above what they've ever been. And it's like, it's exciting because stuff has been happening. I'll give you a hint. This year alone, my pay, I'm paid hourly, went up $5 an hour this year. I know. I think about it. It's like, wait, what? I could say $1.50. I mean, that's great. I'd be awesome. $5. It's so it's Keith Moore says all the time. He says you could take a baseball bat to me. I'll heal, but you will not convince me that tithing and giving doesn't work. You know what I mean? I know how to heal myself, and I know how to increase. So you could beat me all you want, but you're not going to get me to admit that it does not work. So, yeah, we are prospering. So, you ready to give? Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you, Father, that you have put in place a system that we, your kids, the people who follow and serve you, can prosper. Your word says that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your servants. Well, we are your servants, so we are looking to give you pleasure by prospering. Father, I ask that you bless this offering. The holy tithe has gone out of our house. We did not eat it. We did not give it to the dead, Father. And we were lost and dying in sin, and you saved us. You pulled us out of that. So we honor you today with 10%. We give it back that of all that you've given to us. And we do it gladly, Father. We do it happily. We do it with joy. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woohoo.
Upside down notes. Good evening.
Good evening.
How's everybody doing? That was pretty good. That was impressive. Impressive. God is good. While we were doing that praise and worship thing, I looked down at my tie, and I thought, that's a nice tie. And I got 20 or 30 ties while we were on vacation. We were at Brad and Shauna's house. Some of you know them, some of you don't. I'm sorry if you don't. They're good people. But we were there visiting them, and Brad, I think it was Brad or Shauna, whoever. Brad doesn't wear ties. He's not really a tie guy, right? But they came up on a box of ties. And they got them from their church. And usually the box of ties from church, we have a hanger of ties in case anybody like the ushers when they needed to put on a tie. So we'd always have one, right? So there's a hanger back there and it's got ties on it. But when I got here, those ties were like 1982, they might have come with the building, even though the building's newer than that. You get what I'm saying. And I want to talk tonight about God's word being true, and if God said it, it's settled, right? And one of those things that God said is that and I'm not even getting into the sermon yet, he said, if you give, right, it'll be given back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and pouring over. So when I look down at my tie, which is a nice tie, would everybody agree it's a nice tie? You won't hurt my feelings if you say no. Nice tie. All the ties I got were like this. There were no 1985 ties. None of them smell like cigarette smoke. There are none with stains on them. They are all beautiful ties. They are all very similar to this. And I didn't have to spend a dime on them because they came from a church. Right? And they gave them to my friend, and my friend said, you like ties? We've got a box of ties. And so I got to thinking, I have never missed an opportunity to sew a tie. Now, you guys might think, well, sew a tie? What do you mean, sew a tie? I did sew that tie. I'd seen Steve's tie also, and I knew where that tie came from. And we're not talking about sewing a tie. I'm talking about giving a tie, right? Now, And I've, gosh, there's, my tithes are all over the country.
Amen.
You know, they go to different churches.
Amen.
And they're not my tithes anymore. They're the other minister's tithe or the other person's tithe. But I've never missed an opportunity. So that struck me as interesting. As we were singing there, I started thinking about how true God's word is,
yes.
Right? Because once God says it, it's settled. And so I just thank God for always having tithes. And I got to tell you, I was going through my tithe hook, and I was getting a little stressed because I'm running out of ties. Before we went to Colorado, now it's too heavy. I've got too many ties, which just means it just overflows, right?
Yeah.
And which means somebody's gonna. I've already given one of the new ties away. It's because there's something about a nice tie that makes things pop on a suit. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna get into the word. We're gonna get after this. I've got 30 minutes after we pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to come before you and to serve your people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that tonight will not be about what I want to say, but only about what you want to say. So I yield my heart and my mouth to you, Lord God. I yield my words, my speech, everything about me, I yield to you right now, Lord God, that you could use me. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody agreed, said?
Amen.
Amen. So if God said it, and that's the title of this message, if God said it, it's settled, right? Pastor Ricky's really been on getting light on the word, having faith. And Pastor Ricky and I had a conversation yesterday, and it turned to head knowledge, right? Or kind of you might say head faith, and then heart faith, right? And at the end of our conversation, that's what it boiled down to. There's different things you can believe God for. They're all in the Word, right? But maybe you're not at a place where you can believe God for certain things. But if you stay in the Word, and this is what Pastor Ricky's really been pushing home from what I've been getting fed by the Spirit as he's speaking, is get enough light on it, which the light is the Word, and eventually, and not in a long amount of time, but there's a point where it drops into your spirit and you know that you know.
Yes. Amen.
Simple as that, right?
Yes.
And the weird thing is that even though sometimes, like healing, we'll take healing for instance, and I'll give you two examples. I can give you three. Two of when I was healed by God, and a third where I struggled, right? First, I was a cripple when I got here. I walked with a cane. I could walk well with the cane, but I could barely move, right? I was pretty much just a cripple, right? And so I'm walking with a cane, and then I had been here for a couple months or whatever it was, not long enough for a dear sister to know who I was. And she is a wonderful lady, but she is really matter of fact, right? And so this nice lady, she comes over and she says, you come with me, we're going to the prayer room. And then this office over here used to be the prayer room. They do corporate prayer before service. And so she pulls me into this room and the prayer team's in there and they're praying up for the service. And she prayed for me and she said, I was healed. But in the middle of praying for me, she's like, you stop praying, you just sit there and receive. And I was mad at her, like, who's this lady? Do you even know my name, ma'am? Am I just the guy with the cane to you? She didn't know who I was. But long story short, I don't walk with a cane.
Amen.
I think I stopped walking with a cane right after I had that happen,
amen.
Right? And then, of course, I had that little thing. It was here in the church. I had this little thing where I had to go to the hospital, so on and so forth. And by the time I got to the hospital, they couldn't find nothing wrong with me. I got prayed for before I left. Brother Travis did that. It was funny. I'm sitting back there and I was bawling. I hadn't caught on to everything God had for me. And I'm sitting there going, I'm going to die right tonight. This is because I was struggling. Travis came through the door. I don't know if he kicked it or what, but that door swung open wide. And he prayed for me. And by the time I got to the hospital in Las Vegas, I was good. They did all the tests. They couldn't find anything where I had even had the thing that they thought it was. Here in town, gosh, they gave me so much medicine. Like they killed me, but God had other plans. He wanted me to talk to you tonight. But skip forward, 2021, in October, I think it was, I got COVID. And I got COVID bad. And I couldn't catch healing. God had healed me twice of things. And I struggled so much. But I knew I was healed, right? But for some reason, heart knowledge became head knowledge. And I wasn't holding it. Not part of the sermon, but something. Some of these things are peculiar, and they're strange, and we suffer from this in the church often. Not spirit life, but often in the church in general. I'm going to go to Psalm 119, 160. We could start in New King James. We'll see if we go any further than that. But New King James, Psalms. This is, if you guys were here on Sunday, Pastor Ricky gave me a hard time about how long it took me to get to the scripture that he was looking for. And so I love the people in back. I happen to be one of them, so it's kind of self-serving. But at the same time, I know that scrolling, and if you miss it by just a hair, it just resets. And you're like, dude, that was Psalm 119, verse 160. Just so you know, that's 19 scriptures from the very end of the longest book in the Bible. And we're using a mouse hoping we make it. So when he was like in 119, 130 or something like that, it was kind of like, and I missed the mark, and now everything's gone, and I have to start all over. So I think it's funny. You guys might go, gosh, these guys are terrible in the booth. So it says, the entirety of your word is truth. Amen. All right, that's it. The entirety of your word is truth. The funny thing is that God breathed the scripture and it says the entirety of your word is truth. That should be enough for us. Amen. But why isn't it? I won't say that it's not. But why isn't it? Why is that not enough? The entirety of your word is truth. Amen. Too often, we put it, and this is exactly it, too often we put an emphasis on what people say, yes, and on our own experiences, yes, that it negates it takes that heart faith, yes, God has healed me before, to a head knowledge, God has healed me before, and because it's not being applied in my heart, I stopped believing, if you would let me say it that way, for just an instant, that power escapes us. So when we listen to ministers that always have something to say contrary to what the word says, and I won't name names, right? I'm not going to come up here and blast a bunch of ministers because that's not my job. They're not my servant. Amen. They, like me, serve God. And they do what they do. But there are ministers that will tell you that healing is not for today. Amen. There are ministers that will tell you that tongues ceased. That the whole prosperity teaching, the giving, and it'll be given unto you, that's not what the Bible means. Explain to me what the Bible means then.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Because if God said it, it's settled.
Yes.
So if God told me, right? Because he did tell me, he gave me the word. He gives us the word so we can read it, so we can apply it to our lives. Like almost like a salve when you're, or like what out here, like aloe vera is like gold during the summer. Like think about it. He gives this to us and he says, if you pick up my word and you'll take me at my word, I will perform my word for you.
Yes.
This sounds pretty basic.
Yeah.
It's not very hard to catch on to that.
Right.
So why are we allowing our own experiences and the voices of others to speak into our lives when the Bible clearly says something else?
Amen.
You would be hard-pressed to find any scripture where it said healing ceased.
That's right.
Huh?
There's none there?
Amen.
Are you sure? Wendy Jean says it.
Yeah.
I can't take her word for it. But God never once took it away. I know that because I've read the word.
Yes.
The word of God is still true. Regardless of what anybody says, the word of God is the ending. It's the end. It's the ultimate authority. We need to stop trying to pick and choose what we're going to accept from the word. It is the ultimate authority in our lives. And if you're unwilling to accept that, you may as well throw out salvation too.
Yes.
Because I told my dad once, Dad, why can't you believe for healing? Of everything that God does, you believe the most outlandish. And for this might sound harsh, but and I promise you, I'm not being like sacrilegious or blasphemy or anything like that. But you believe the most outlandish part of the scripture, but not the easy ones that you can see tangibly. You believe that one day you're going to live after you die in a city made of gold. You believe the most, and I know it to be true, but you believe the most far-fetched part of the Bible because a minister told you, but God said that you can walk in healing and you can be free, but you won't believe something that you can have tangibly today. Tangibly today. And people get water. People get all like crazy about the giving thing.
Right.
An empty pocketbook, it's not good.
No.
But an empty pocketbook will not put you in a bed, crippled and not able to move.
Right. Amen.
It is the easiest, most painless way to experience the truth of the word, to let go of your money.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm not even, let's just talk about God's money.
Amen.
It's the easiest thing.
Yeah.
When you think of 10 cents on the dollar, right. 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on. And some people will be like, man, they're just after my money. I'm not going to do that. That's these greedy ministers always trying to take my money. No, it's not about your money for us. It's about God's money and him being able to trust you in the little so that he can bless you with the lots.
Amen.
Steve, great testimony. There's a lot of us who have been there.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Because we went from a head knowledge I've said this before. I was 100% against prosperity gospel teaching.
Yeah.
Not even lying to you. 100%.
Yeah.
Pastor Ricky got a hold of me one day. We were going to the gym before. I haven't been there in a while. So I kind of figure how long it's been. But I told him, I said, I don't like that Kenneth Copeland guy. He, you know, blah, 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 blah. I won't even say what I said. And so Pastor Ricky just talked to me a little bit. He's like, you don't know nothing, right? I'm, you know, summing it up. And so I found some Kenneth Copeland teachings from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
When he was believing for the next venue that he could just get enough money together to pay for the next venue.
Yeah, that's right.
When he didn't have airplanes.
Amen.
When he didn't know where the next meal was coming from.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people down on prosperity teaching.
Yeah.
But those prosperity teachers, that the trailblazers, the guys that went out ahead, yeah. went out ahead, and they did. They had nothing yeah. in a lot of cases, yeah. And were they went that far, and they did it that way, so we don't have to.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's what happens when you believe the word of God yeah. and not the words of people. Yeah. At the end of the day, since I've got to Spirit Life Church, Spirit Life Church is a Bible-believing church.
Yes.
We don't add anything to the Bible.
Nope.
We don't take anything out of the Bible.
Nope.
That would be wrong.
Right.
We will read you the Bible plain and believe what it says.
Yes. Amen.
So, when we say that if you give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and pouring over, that's scripture.
Yeah.
That's not 1 Clinton 2:20.
Yeah. Amen.
When we say that by his stripes you are healed, that's scripture.
That's right. Amen.
That's not 2 Pastor Ricky 4:14. We have to get to a point where we're not just knowing the Bible, because it's easy to know the Bible,
yes.
but it's a big books. Said books. Did you catch that? Because
yeah.
it's a lot of books. It's a lot. There's a lot of information in there.
Right.
The devil knows the Bible.
Yes.
Well.
Demons know the Bible.
Yes.
They don't apply. We need to stop just knowing the Bible. We need to start believing the Bible.
Amen.
And you could sit there and you could say, I believe the Bible all day long. And I would argue that you believe the Bible to be true, but you don't believe the Bible. In some situations, right?
Yeah.
And that stings a little bit. I get it.
Yeah.
When you're living a life in lack and in poverty, and somebody gets up here and tells you how you can live a blessed life by taking part in what the Bible prescribes for a blessed life, and be offended.
Yes, amen.
I was.
Yeah, amen.
But then I said, let's try God out.
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and give? We're going to start with the tithe.
Yep, amen.
And I was terrible at the tithe at first. I actually got to a point, because I get free bank checking accounts, so I don't have to pay for that. I opened a checking account and I took 10% from my paycheck. It never even went into our main operating account for our household. That 10%, it was the only checking account that I have a checkbook for, and it automatically went in there. And as soon as the deposit was made, I paid my tithe off of it, wrote the check. I had already set it aside for God. And I taught myself to tithe.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because it, I get it, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you've got bills here.
Right, amen.
And this number is smaller than this number. And when you start to tithe, this number is really smaller than this number.
Yes.
But oddly enough, as small as this number got in some circumstances, this number never fazed us.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's that assurance that you get from hooking up with God and believing him at his word.
Yes. Amen.
The easy read version of this same verse says every word you say can be trusted.
Amen.
Wendy Jean said that it's not in there. And dear sweet Wendy Jean, she's not God. And I can't for surely say that, and this is nothing against you personally, but I can't say that every word Wendy Jean says can be trusted. I will tell you something, don't tell anybody, but you shouldn't trust every word I say. Just don't. I'm a salesperson. Come on, right? I've never sold a car in my life, but never mind. Some, I don't want to hurt car dealers' feelings, but every word of God can be trusted.
Yes.
And he put them there for us.
Yes.
To read. He didn't hide them under a rock.
Amen.
He didn't take them away from us.
Amen.
He put them out there in plain English. Well, it's in plain English now.
Yes.
Some way too plain English, like the hood version. Oh, I'm just joking. There is the Pidgin English Bible, which I love. It's all in the Pidgin English, the street slang of Hawaii. Romans 3:3-4. I've got to hurry up. I've got 10 minutes left. Steve had a great testimony and he took all my time.
So sorry. Not sorry.
This is where I so want to bring this out, right? Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. I don't care what the next Christian believes.
Amen.
If you don't want to believe in healing, don't. I'm sad for you. God's still going to heal me when I get sick.
Yes.
I don't care if you call me names because I believe in prosperity. Because your unbelief in prosperity isn't going to affect my prosperity.
That's right. Amen.
Because I stopped trusting the words of men a long time ago. God's word is where it's settled at.
That's right.
It is infallible, it is ever living, it is ever present, and it is ever powerful if we will apply it to our lives.
Yeah.
It's funny that that's the qualifier, knowing it and applying it.
Yes. Amen.
but some people don't, they struggle with that. And I want you guys to know that I have a heart for that because I'm the same. I'll stand up here and preach to you this message, and I could drive down the road and struggle with something the same as you.
Amen.
When I knew that I had matured a little bit when Heather had her the thing that happened to her just recently, I cried a little bit on my way to Havasu, but I had peace the entire time.
Amen.
It's strange. It's not strange. It's just that I had noticed that I had gotten past always being afraid of something happening.
Yeah.
Which was refreshing.
Yeah.
And my daughter, my daughter was a champ that day. Because we believe God's word to be true.
Amen.
We believe that God will heal Heather.
Amen.
So we stand on that.
Yep.
If you were here on Sunday night, that's what you agreed with me with.
Amen.
For. A couple other things, something at work, and then also paying off Hammer. Hammer is my puppy. Hammer's hilarious. Heather does not like Hammer currently.
She's lucky he
survived. Yes. So Romans 3, verse 3, in my opinion, sums up the faith walk.
Yes, amen.
Absolutely. Let God be true and every man a liar.
Yes.
I'm going to really quick, in what's going to be closing, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from Smith Wigglesworth. And when I was studying yesterday, Smith, anytime I think about faith, I know that Brother Hagin is a favorite of the pastors. I love Brother Hagin. I've listened to a lot of his sermons. But something about a guy who would kick a baby off a stage is just, I don't know how true that is. There's stories that he threw a baby off a wall, kicked one off a stage, he smacked a guy. Those guys, those trailblazers, there's always crazy stories about them. But he's who said that we need to believe in extravagant asking. And I'm going to read a little bit of one of his sermons that I think is applicable to today. These are days when we need to have our faith strengthened. Every day is, just so you know. But he says, these are days when we need to have our faith strengthened, when we need to know God. God has designed that the just shall live by faith. Any man can be changed by faith, no matter how he may be fettered. I know that God's word is sufficient. One word from him can change a nation. His word is from everlasting to everlasting. It is through the entrance of this everlasting word, this incorruptible seed, that we are born again and come into this wonderful salvation. Man cannot live by bread alone, but must live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is the food of faith. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He goes on to say that everywhere men are trying to discredit the Bible. One preacher says, well, you know, Jesus arranged beforehand to have that colt tied where it was, and for the men to just say what they did. I tell you, God can arrange everything without going near. He can plan for you, and when he plans for you, all is peace. All things are possible if you will believe. Another preacher said it was an easy thing for Jesus to feed the people with five loaves. The loaves were so big in those days that it was a simple matter to cut them into 1,000 pieces. Y'all, a kid brought this lunch. And it had 2 fish there too. He didn't even take account for the fish. We have a wonderful God, a God whose ways are past finding out, and whose grace and power are limitless. Whose grace and power are limitless. And as far as past finding out, that we know God because the word.
Right.
We don't know how he does the things that he does.
Amen.
But it's activated by faith.
Yes.
Your faith is activated by feeding and feeding on the word of God.
Amen.
If we will begin, and I challenge you, if you're not already on the one-year reading plan, get on it. If you don't have a reading plan, that is.
Amen.
It's okay if you have your own reading plan, but you need to be feeding on the Word of God.
Yes.
Because it is what is going to carry you through these coming years.
Yep. Amen.
Over the last few years, I've become convinced that the devil got tired of Christians who were bold and unapologetic, and planted a seed of complacency, playing on human vanity and a desire not to be pointed at and ridiculed. And it has been successful in tempering and muting the power available to you as a believer. What I mean by that is that somewhere along the line, the devil spoke to a minister. Whether it was through a circumstance or a friend, it doesn't matter. But the seed that he planted that day would grow into what it has become today, where nobody wants to talk about the provision of God in case it offends somebody. Nobody wants to experience the power of God in having a service where not a single word of English is spoken. We've had those here where it's just prayer and worship the entire time, no sermon given, and the move of God was amazing. But people are afraid to do that because it might scare off that new guy, that new family. It might offend somebody who's going through a rough patch. I tell you now that for me, there will no longer be any explaining away peculiarity. Amen. There will no more be sensitive. I won't be sensitive to people's beliefs or unbeliefs. I'm not holding back when God says I should move forward. I am done with being weak-minded. I am done with kid gloving what we believe.
Yes, amen.
Because if you will compromise when nothing except for your own vanity is at stake, how are you going to be when the ultimate sacrifice will be required? And at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to.
Yes, yes.
We need to be strong in what God has told us.
Yes.
We need to be steadfast in the word, and we need to make sure that we are living it, and we can't do that if we won't get in to the word.
Yes.
I will stand for the truth of the word. Because at the end of the day, that is where victory, health, freedom, and prosperity live. It will be where longevity is gained, and I will have all the peace and the love that I need.
Amen.
Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, that I will meditate on it day and night, so that I can observe to do everything that is written therein."
Amen.
That's when you're observing something, you're remembering what happened in the past. God has worked a miracle in everyone's life. Write some of those things down.
Yes, amen.
It is. When you read through the miracles in the Bible, you're like, yeah, but that was Peter. Yeah, that was David. But what did he do for you?
Yes.
Amen.
God healed me in the ambulance ride. Well, he healed me right out here when Travis prayed. Moreover, he healed me back on Calvary.
Amen.
That's right.
But you know what? God has provided for me big things. He paid me back 10,000-fold in tithes.
Amen.
Don't leave here tonight without a fire to get into the Word.
Amen.
And to really, as like Pastor Ricky's been saying, get light.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you struggle with something that we teach here, get light.
Yes.
Amen.
Because it's true, it's in the word. And it's not, nowhere is it revoked in the word.
Amen.
That's what God has for you. I'll pray and we'll dismiss. Father God, thank you so much for this evening, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Let you be true, Lord God, and every man a liar. Don't let us leave here tonight, Lord God, with the same heart, haphazardly going to your word when we need something, but that we would live a life dedicated to spending time with you in your word, in the throne room, Lord God, in prayer. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We love you. And we honor you tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. We will see you, that says Sunday. Yeah.